Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
I wanted you to turn to Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start there. And just want to declare, as today is Father's Day, that for each of us, may we know, even each year, I'm so glad we can, every year there are significant certain days, like last Sunday we had Pentecost, and I still want us to follow up. There are so many aspects this year that we need the Holy Spirit, His guidance, and the Word of God will keep us from confusion. There are so many voices and ungodly voices that speak to us. We are from whether all the internet to all the fake news on different channels, that there is all kinds of propaganda. I mean, there are aggressive forces, and you realize, for example, as several states in this nation got disgusted by the idea of, in some legislative assemblies, they were praising the abortion on almost nearly the last day of pregnancy, that they're celebrating it almost, and how offensive that is to the Heavenly Father. And yet, the Father's love is so, I mean, I think it's like flood after flood of His love is coming over us. When a nation gets the awakening, you read about the awakenings in the last couple of great seasons of awesome transformation of not just people, but society, and that entire seasons that were filled with revival glory, with the presence of God from shore to shore. The Lord would pour out His Spirit in His mercy. So in this, each year, the Father's love is going to get stronger and stronger. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But my light will be seen upon this." Darkness is spiritual darkness. And that people's values would be taken away, that they would call evil good and good evil. And there is, may the Lord, we need the church, we need the Bible, we need the Holy Spirit outpouring to continue to inspire us, anoint us, that I'm so glad that God is using us in this locality and in the nations to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, and that we can live and help our neighborhoods, even locally, we're involved. Yeah. But it's because of the Father's love the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Anyway, Matthew, I want to read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. We'll start with 7. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." So each of you, don't hesitate in asking the Heavenly Father on your behalf, on your children's behalf. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things," say good things, "to those who ask him?" So Father God, we ask for good things. How many would agree? Lord, I'm asking for good things. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. How much more your Heavenly Father give you. Father God, our God, our Father, on Father's Day, we want to say affirm again that our God is a loving Heavenly Father. So thank you, Father. Say, thank you, Father. So as we recognize fathers here today, we want to honor above all our Heavenly Father, that He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God, and you give good things to your children. Hallelujah. Also then, just in the scriptures, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. So this is part of the instructions to the parents, that as fathers, especially, here this says, this is a choice by a father. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Say, as for me and my house.
As for me and my house.
We will serve the Lord.
We will serve the Lord.
Also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
I went for a long walk last night. It was so beautiful. But I think I, you know, inhaled one of those little fuzzy things off of some tree somewhere. I still, excuse me, stuck in my throat. I know, so when you looked at me, I was like, sorry. I'm trying to save the tape. Never mind.
Okay. Now we're going to read it again.
Thank you. Please.
Deuteronomy 6. You know, you cannot say Deuteronomy real fast.
Try it.
Deuteronomy.
Again, several times.
Deuteronomy. 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 And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. So you shouldn't ingest things. You just, if you have been speaking the word.
Me think of it, because you said when you walk by the way.
When you lie down and when you rise up. So that is part of the thing of discipline that God says, here are your clear instructions, mommy, daddy. Speak the word of God to your children. And how much, I mean, it's really something. The more you find out what is being promoted in our school systems, and more, and, you know, we, in some states, it is so blatant and so repugnant for me to find that, yeah, you know, six-year-old kids,
yeah,
seven-year-old yeah kid, that they are being, mm-hmm, the propaganda, mm-hmm, is coming on them, that they're confused. You can choose your sex. You may be 7 years old,
mm-hmm,
but you may want to change to a girl. You are a boy. I mean, it's really bizarre. We need clarity. We need the word of God. We need church. We need the communion together so we can together. Either we hang together or we hang separately, as it says. We are, so that you will get unity and you will get strength from the community of believers, others. So we do not want to get isolated and alone. The enemy can pick us off much easier. But we need to have clarity of our values, and then that the devil will not kidnap our children or grandchildren.
Yeah.
We put a supernatural dome of protection over all our little ones, and then the next generation. I believe that it's imperative that we as fathers and grandfathers, mothers and grandmothers, mm-hmm. that we do not at this time run to the caves and hide. Mm-hmm. That we right there in the middle mm-hmm. challenge, you cannot have our children.
Yep.
You cannot teach these repugnant values yeah. to our children. And in unity, we'll have greater strength. So we need each other in this hour. But God has not left us without guidance. He says, this is what you're going to do. And be bold about teaching my word and my values to your children, to your grandchildren. And watch. I mean, it is amazing how you read how they were had planned. I mean, from way back in the 50s, how Marxists had planned on taking over our education systems. Mm-hmm. So, and then the values, and they don't quit. They don't ever stop in advancing their agenda, how aggressively they will talk about abortion rights and making you feel like yeah. you are an evil person if you have values. Oh, you are a phobe, whatever, something phobe. Well, I won't say what, because they may be listening.
Once again, this is the thing that for the last couple of days has been sort of just like crashing in a beautiful way, afresh on me, is this particular aspect is the center and the core of the gospel. It's the revelation that we have a heavenly Father who affectionately cares for us. And absolutely, think of any problem in the world, all the things that you've just mentioned. The root, the very root, is the absence of a revelation and personal relationship with God as Father. So therefore, what a privileged people we are. And all the more, Lord, awaken us fully. Daily, experientially, to your affection and to your love, that we might rejoice and also share the love of the Father. And Mahesh, that this is the commandment that I'm giving you, coming over into the New Testament. A couple of the things that I've been thinking about is about that commandment. And of course, we know that Jesus said the greatest commandments are
love.
Love God, right? And love, well, golly, the greatest commandment is to love. Amazing. And then in John 10, Jesus says, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Nobody takes it from me. He made a free choice. He made a free choice. And why did he make that free choice? Because he loved the Father so much that it gave him the motivation and ability to go through that because of love for the Father. And it really came to me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And he says, this command I've received from my Father. There's a power in the love of God. God commands his blessing towards us, Scripture says. Wow. Nobody can override that. Jesus did that incredible act of unconditional love. Sinless for sinner, innocent for guilty, free for slave, righteous for unrighteous. Because he loved his Father more than he loved his own life. And then, in John 15, Jesus gives a command to us. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another like I've loved you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, and you're my friends. If you love as I've commanded you. We enter into this family, this fellowship, this atmosphere of unique affection that becomes self-sacrificing by free choice. And he said, these things I command you, that you love one another. In verse 17, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And I wrote myself a little note. That's the daily challenge, to choose to love so as to be utterly willing to lay down our lives for one another daily, because that kind of love is most manifest in the multitude of little things, the small choices that each of us make every day for the sake of the other. And I know for me, it's the little stuff that, you know, tends to make me behave more like myself than like Jesus.
But the Lord, again, I want to just think, on Friday, by the way, there was just a tremendous presence of the Lord and the prophetic.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, this is the time that these are what the Bible calls the last days. And so we are privileged to be in the last days. I'll tell you, I was kind of a week and a half ago or so, as they were celebrating, President Trump went to England, and this was on the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And I saw these are some, how many of you have your grandfather or great uncle or whoever was in the Second World War? Just keep your hand upraised. If they were on the D-Day landings, wave your hand. If there were anyone who was in the D-Day landings.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, you saw those. Wow. We would call them grandfathers after 75 years. But the fathers and the grandfathers, but they sacrificed to, and I thought, wow, just think, these are some of the bravest of the brave. Some barely 17 and 18, jumping into the Atlantic, on the waves of Normandy, the beaches there. And hundreds gave their lives. I mean, we had the privilege of being there.
Very moving.
Very moving. But these guys had their values, clarified. There is good, there is evil. Mm. And our nation was committed to bring good to Europe and the world. But at that time, I just felt that was part of the rehearsal for the last days, and we are in the last days, and in that season, fatherhood is going to be one of the anointed focuses of the Lord, because it says in the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, the last things, last thoughts, as we end up to close the Old Testament, this is what it says. Behold, the word of the Lord. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So part of the great move, one of the great moves of the Spirit in the last days will be the Spirit of Elijah comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We have more than a quarter to nearly 40% of homes in the United States that are raising children without the presence of fathers.
Wow.
And it is like a type of famine in the land where fathers are unable to, mothers and fathers have a clear role according to the Word of God, and we are both needed to guide the children so they can be whole children. They need fathers, they need mothers, if they don't have this, they're partly stunted. And God the Father can come in and cover if we seek the face of the Lord. But this is the anointing of the spirit of Elijah. And then it also in Luke chapter 1, it says in verse 16 onwards again, it repeats, and many of the children of Israel shall turn, he turned to the Lord their God. This is talking about the John the Baptist ministry. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, turning the children's hearts to the Father. This is part of the ministry of the Elijah spirit. And it's the spirit of Elijah. The power, the most powerful prophet,
thank you, Lord.
The most anointed prophet for me in the Old Testament is Elijah.
What I'm sensing right now is the Lord is making a very clear connection over the spirit of prophecy and seeing and declaring, announcing evangelism, if you will, for every one of us to receive a fresh anointing this morning, to have the gifts of the Spirit stirred up in us, the oil of the anointing so present with us that we might be heralds, not herald like with an O, but the proclaimers. And I see it right now. It's like every one of you are like John the Baptist going before Jesus, saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And being able to direct hearts of children of God who don't know him yet. And the thing that quickened, Pastor, when you read that, is the Bible talks about the spirit of prophecy being able to reveal the secrets of men's hearts, not to expose people, but literally to be able to speak to people the depths of their heart that nobody but God would know in such a way that suddenly their heart would be open to hear what else you have to say. And you are anointed to manifest the Son. So can we just receive that this morning? I feel like it's a special gift this morning, prophetically, that this is what God, part of what God is pouring out on us, that you will be like the Spirit, you will have that Spirit to be able to turn people's hearts, the hearts of children, men and women, everywhere. When you speak to them, suddenly they'll open and turn to get a revelation of God the Father. So Lord, we receive that anointing. Amen. The anointing of the Son, the prophetic fire power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father in words of knowledge, in prophetic words of wisdom, in words of love, in miracles of healing. We receive the anointing to turn the hearts of children to the Heavenly Father and to reveal the Heavenly Father to the hearts of men. We thank you on this Father's Day. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Heavenly Father. And we receive now this gift of love. Lord, help us to be ready and quick and skillful at opening this gift and sharing it with the many. We see from you know, everything that we've said so far in our nation, the thing that's missing is a revelation of the Father. And there is one Father. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father. Well, Jesus is the way where? To the Father. He's the way to the Father. I'm sorry, that was like a Jesus is God moment for me, Heather, because I suddenly went, well, that was the whole point, wasn't it? He's not like the way to salvation. I mean, he is way to salvation or way to, you know, safety, the way to healing. He's all of those things. But he's the way to the Father. And then he said, I am the truth. And I was like, truth? The truth that God is our Father. And it's supernatural, both of those things. But both of the way and the truth is to the Father. to manifest the Father. Thank you, Lord.
And if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. So everything was pointed towards Father God, and that you belong, and that you are loved, and that you are a special race, the people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and the Lord has made the path. There is no barrier between you and Father God, because Jesus took the barriers on himself. He took our sins and our iniquities, and he made the way for us. That John 14, it really was the scripture that led me to Jesus Christ. And the glory came after I was there around 9 o'clock at night. I was reading that verse, John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And the glory came and knocked me out.
Wow.
And I knew that I knew Jesus was Lord. And I was in that glory visitation that by the time morning came and I heard the roosters, God had put me in the glory presence. And immediately I got on my knees and received Jesus as my Savior. Therefore, I received my Heavenly Father who sent Jesus as my Father. So there is a transformation. There is a fresh revelation in this hour. As we talked about Pentecost, this is the right time to meditate some more how Holy Spirit makes real Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That it is not phobic in any way to think there is only one way. I'll tell you, there is only one way, we declare, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the way, the
Lord,
truth, and the life. It's not like 100 different ways, and I can choose this, and I could, and this whole propaganda, you're intolerant, or you are anti this or anti that, just because you say, Jesus is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's not our words. That's not mine or Bonnie's word. It is the scripture. It is the word of God. And it may seem intolerant to others, but you will miss out if you don't know Jesus. Take him personally as your Savior, and he leads us to the Heavenly Father. There's only one way, and that is Jesus' way.
And no one but a son could speak of his Father. Uniquely, it would take the son to be able to speak of his Father in that unique way. And Hebrews says that you know, in former times, in many seasons, in many ways, through the prophets and all kinds of stuff, that God has spoken to us. But now he's spoken to us in a different way, through his son, to the Father. And he said, no one knows the Father the way I do. I found a beautiful scripture in Isaiah 63 that is actually a prophecy. God isn't called Father very often in the Old Testament. And I did some reading on Israel and Judaism and stuff, and the understanding of fatherhood was different than the affectionate familial one. It has more to do with Father, Lord, and a kind of a different persona than how we know of, you know, a perfect human father, that affectionate love or that. But in Isaiah 63:15-16, in verse 16, for you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. The Holy Spirit was speaking in advance of the Gentiles that would come to know the God of Israel as their Father through Jesus Christ, through the Messiah of Israel who would come. You, O Lord, are our Father. Your Redeemer, our Redeemer from of old is your name. This unique speaking of the Son. I love Matthew 11 in the Message Bible, that part that's titled The Unforced Rhythms of Grace. And I learned that about that dynamic first of all, from you in terms of your relationship with the Holy Spirit and the glory, and then, you know, the whole, you started putting language, calling it the glory bubble and all of those kind of things. But for years, you would talk to me about the rhythm of the presence of the Lord. And in Matthew 11, in Eugene Peterson's beautiful version, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your way from sophisticates and know-it-alls." And, you know, therein is the problem, right? Today, you think this radical denial of men and maleness, this bitter hatred and suspicion towards fathers and men in positions of governance and power and, you know, even privilege, much less success. It's straight out of the pit of hell. It is totally right out of the pit of hell. And I see in this, you know, the outpouring in the last days of the Spirit of Elijah to restore the hearts of children and fathers. Obviously, there is a flood out of the dragon's mouth that is this radical feminist hate, suspect, put men on the back burner, bring them down, da da da, so on and so. You know, the root is deny the Father. Deny the Father. Deny man, deny male, deny the Father. And, you know, unfortunately, it's run now all into the gender identity confusion and problems and all of that. So anyway, he says, "You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people." Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Then he said, he talked to the people tenderly. Say tenderly. See, the Son speaks differently than Elijah, you know. It's not going to rain. There's a different speaking, but it comes from knowledge, personal knowledge of the Father. So the Spirit is those unforced rhythms of grace that you know so well and that you speak of and demonstrate so often. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. It's a unique Father-Son operation. It comes out of Father-Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. And that's our commission. Yes, receive it. Receive it so you can give it away. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line. Look at the patience. And you think about the patience of God down through history. I mean, he saved us while we were yet sinners. He walked with Israel for 40 years. He renewed his promise and his covenant. He kept pushing the reset button time and time and time. And how many times has he pushed the reset button in our lives? Patient, ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And then that beautiful one, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." And Derek used to say, you know, obviously he was a King James man, and that's that famous phrase of, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And Derek would say, what was his yoke? What was his burden? And why was it easy and light? It was the love of the Father. That was his whole mission. Reveal the Father's love. Love the Father, reveal the Father's love.
Amen. And you find, well, one of the points I wanted to make, I'm thinking partly of the Spirit we felt on Friday. Going back to the scripture, "I will send Elijah who will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers." So there is a real outpouring, what we would, the Bible term, part of the term is, we could call it revival, but this is the outpouring of a visitation of the Holy Spirit, we call it. It will come in the Spirit of Elijah. And one of the aspects, number one, is turning this anointing is, as we have, it's on the highest level of turning, restoring families, restoring fatherhood and motherhood, restoring the land. And one of the aspects of Elijah, I'd point out, that I could sense in a strong way coming for us, even Friday, there was a breaking through for us of the spirit of Elijah. Is you look back at 1 Kings 18 and you find, what is he doing? He goes after he has confronted the false prophets, and that's, we have false prophets speaking to our culture now, who says babies, even about to be born, about to come out, you have a right to kill the baby. That's, I mean, complete corruption of brain. So you know this is demonic voices that are guiding our, in many ways, we have to put a bulwark. We got to say, thus far and no further. Just like Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal and says, yeah, you call your fire down and see who has the real fire. And he's able to, there's no fear. Where there is the spirit of Elijah, with the restoration of fatherhood is there and motherhood in a healthy way. And then he goes, and this is what I believe the secret for us, one of the major secrets is that he goes and gets in that fetal position and prays and says, do you see that cloud yet? And he prays that the drought would be broken. And seven times he gets in that fetal position of intercession. And the servant on the seventh time says, I see a small cloud. He says, all right, that's the breakthrough. We are going to get rain like we have never seen it. And the drought will break over our land. And we'll have victory in the name of Jesus. So the spirit of Elijah, part of that is prayer. Intense prayer like we have never seen it before. Commitment to pray in. The great outpouring is at hand, I believe. And it's the spirit of Elijah turning the hearts of the fathers. That spirit by itself will do it. We don't have to do manipulation. We don't have to get it. But we need to get pray in the spirit of Elijah.
Amen. So, Lord, we do. We join our hearts today and pray, send your rain. Send the rain of your Holy Spirit. Father, as we just celebrated the giving of the rain of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, we ask for a fresh flood. We pray, open heaven over America, Lord God. We pray, we plead, we ask through the blood of Jesus, on his sacrifice, on his resurrection. Lord Jesus, from your throne on the cosmos, stretch forth your hand. Send rain. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. We welcome you. We make intercession today that you would pour out the Spirit of the Father on our nation, on our land. Pour out the Spirit of the Father on Los Angeles, on New York, on Charlotte. Pour out the Spirit of the Father on Chicago and Dallas, on Mobile, Lord God. Pour out the Spirit of the Father across this land, we pray. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for revivals on our college campuses. We pray for anointed messengers, for young men and women to be awakened, just like Pastor Mahesh was in that season of his life, Lord. Awakened to the love of the Father through the Son. To be messengers, to be proclaimers, to be heralds of the gospel, and that you would pour out your spirit on college campuses and into that vacuum there where the emptiness of Marxism, whose basic premise is no God, no family. Father, we pray, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, and on each one of us on this Father's Day, we receive your love afresh. And we receive a fresh anointing of a revelation of the joy of knowing the Father. And we receive a fresh speaking ability and insight of the Son to be able to speak to many sons who do not yet know their Father in heaven.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let's all stand. want to welcome the spirit of Elijah. We say welcome to our nation. We speak also to Western nations where they have turned. You see this, and it's a major concern. If you read about what's happening in Europe, with Great Britain, France, Germany, some of the great nations, a few of them are heeding, but a lot of them have still turned away from the living Christ. And they are turning to the Antichrist spirit. And it's of deep concern that nations that stood for Christianity and Christendom, they are in great danger to welcome, about to welcome majorly the spirit of Antichrist. Europe is not having children. It's like barren right now. The spirit of barrenness has come on it. So these are crucial. These are the last days. And so we welcome the spirit of Elijah to come, the spirit of revival to come on, not only on our land, but all across the nations we call the Western civilization.
Thank you.
That there would be repentance and we turn our hearts to the living God, to the Father God. So raise your hands. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask.
I ask.
The spirit of Elijah.
The spirit of Elijah. To visit me.
My nation.
My nation.
My family.
My family.
My state. We want to turn our hearts.
We turn our hearts.
To the Heavenly Father.
To the Heavenly Father.
We repent.
We repent.
Where any false voice.
Where any false voice.
Has tricked us.
Has tricked us.
From honoring Father God.
From honoring Father God.
We honor you once again, Lord.
We honor you once again, Lord.
We receive.
We receive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father God.
Father God.
And His blessings.
And His blessings.
As for me and my house.
As for me and my house.
We are going to serve.
We are going to serve.
The Heavenly Father.
The Heavenly Father.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Father God.
Father God.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With your spirit.
With your spirit.
To the glory of Jesus Christ.
To the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Father. Yes.
Yeah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.